I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, Episode 79, looking back at the Crouse-Simmons Trophy game, a first time on a Saturday at Boswell Field in a while, and ahead to the Atlantic 10 season opener this Saturday against the UMass Minutemen. The coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond's with us. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
13-7 against the Q's. You really hung with them strong for the first half. They pulled away in the second half. In terms of the game and in terms of preparation for the A-10 season, what are your thoughts on this one?
Certainly disappointed that, we let a what looked like a flat and uninterested Syracuse team, that we let them get out of here with a victory. Unfortunately, Ted, they have some players that can make plays. They're good and capitalize on mistakes like they knew we would. And we had kind of that 6-7 minute span in the third quarter where we kept giving them second opportunities and not capitalizing on a few possessions offensively and gave them the opportunity to expand that lead. I mean, it was 6-5, and then in a couple minutes it was 10-6. It happened quick. So we're upset about that. We went into that game with the full anticipation and goal set to win it, and as we always will, but didn't do enough in order to accomplish that goal. Now, in the end, there's a reason why we wanted to play Syracuse the weekend before the Atlantic 10 began. And I think we went into that locker room afterwards and our message was clear. We said, 3-5 is nowhere where we want to be, and we understand that. But from a record standpoint, I don't think that indicates what kind of momentum and what kind of adversity we've been through and how ready we are for our conference. I just feel it in my gut. I feel like through all the up and downs and, where we've come from, that Tuesday night in Ithaca where everything went well for Cornell and everything went bad for Hobart, where, we were as banged up as we'd been all season with lots of people on that sideline watching that game that probably should have been in it. To all the work we've done getting to this point right here, I'm very proud to be this team's coach and very anxious to put a great team out in the field here Saturday and start this Atlantic 10 conference off right.
I watched as much of the video as I could before we left for the hockey game. I've heard a few different things, but I wanted to get it from you. The disallowed goal where you scored and they took it away, what happened?
So, I fully believe that it is a goal. We watched it on film 100 times, and there's no way for Chris's shot to... I mean, I guess there is. It would be a magical bounce. There was another ball in the goal, and there was another ball outside of the goal. So through Syracuse's warm-up, they left the ball in the goal, on accident. So, and when we scored the goal, there was another ball outside the goal, and they said that the one that we shot was outside the goal, and the one that was in the goal was the practice warm-up ball from Syracuse. So they took away a goal at the end of the half for us.
Isn't that something, I don't want to jump all over refs, but isn't that something they're supposed to inspect at the start of the quarters?
I would think, yeah. I mean, or, it could be blamed on our facility staff, which it shouldn't be. I don't know. But, we scored, 5 goals before that, Ted, and they didn't see a ball or this and that. It's one of those Syracuse quandaries that just never get answered.
So when you think of Syracuse, you always think of offense first, but they limited you to 32 shots, well below what you usually get. What did they do defensively to prevent you from getting your usual 47 or so shots?
Yeah, I mean, this is a different Q's team, Ted. I mean, they're not, the age-old Q's is high-powered offense, end-to-end play. If you make a mistake subbing, they capitalize, and they still kind of have that. I think they're athletic in the right spots. They're skilled in the right spots. They have a very balanced offense. But, defensively, they're just buttoned up. They have a great goaltender, which makes you think twice about shooting, and they have athletic poles. So what you try to do in a two-man game, they limit you by how much they can pressure the ball and get their hands on people. So I told Coach Aderna after the game, through all of my years playing Syracuse, I'm not sure I've seen the defense as buttoned up and as they pay more attention to detail than I think they really ever have. And so I think they're doing a great job from the inside out. And, you know, a good defense is always supported by an excellent goalie. I'm not sure there's a better one out there. So they have a lot of confidence in him and ability to take some chances defensively and apply some pressure. So I just think they do a great job from the inside out. They do a great job covering the ball and do a great job in those two-man games, which in the olden days or even a few years ago, a two-man game is where you killed Cuse. They just didn't seem to communicate great through it, and now they seem to have a great idea and or plan for any and all two-man games on the perimeter. So kudos to them, man. They're playing good ball in front of their goalie.
Anthony Dottella scored three goals. He was his usual self. Chris Patterson added three goals, and I want to talk about him for a little bit. A first year coming in, you know, if I were a first year player joining a veteran team, I'd be maybe a little reluctant to take a lot of shots and step up. Do you talk to a player like that early in the season and say, look, I know you're a first year, but you're going to be a big part of this offense. Don't be afraid to shoot. Don't be afraid to step in.
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit, Ted, but you know, the reason why Chris plays for us and plays so much is because he never has been afraid to shoot or step in or let it go. He's just, he's a natural in that sense. Not from a shooting and scoring standpoint, that's all hard work for him, but a natural from a mental approach to the game of lacrosse. There's no hesitation in how he plays. We've at times early in the season had to dial him back just a touch and say, you know, yeah, this is a good look or this is a good opportunity, but there's a better one right down the road here. So, you know, let's put the ball through X or let's hit the single pass here and da da da. So his growth has been tremendous in good versus great, essentially. But he's a fearless competitor, man. He puts in too much work and he's too good at this game to really have any reservations or worries at all. So, you know, it's why we recruited him. That's why we wanted him here so badly. And that's why he's got the ball in his stick a large portion of this game. You know, it's one of the rules Coach Brundage has when we play offense here. It's, you know, we want to play with a good pace, but we also want Anthony to touch the ball, and we want Chris to touch the ball every possession. We got to make sure that happens because they usually do pretty good things with it.
Ellis Wilson made 12 saves. It really seems like he's progressed over the last few weeks. Talk a little bit about his development as a goalie and where he needs to go to get to that next step for the A-10.
Yeah, you know, there were 12 saves, but there were 12 good saves. I mean, there were a couple on the doorstep, you know, a couple that in the past he's maybe let up or this and that, and a couple that he wants back for sure. So, you know, I think the best part about the growth, and we've talked about this on the podcast previously this season, is just the change in demeanor that he's had, the change in his work ethic. He's always been a very hard worker, Ted, but he's had a different approach to playing the game well, and I think it's really working for him. And the way he conducts himself as a leader is something that is needed and doesn't really make him feel like a sophomore. You know, I think we'll every once in a while I'll tune back into the roster and you know, making sure that all our recruiting classes are on point, what's leaving, what's coming in, and making sure we're balanced there just so I can wrap my brain around it. And, you know, I get to Ellis and I go, man, he's a sophomore. That's great. You know, and he's only going to continue to get better. So proud of the strides he's made. And then going into this Atlantic 10, he's got to recognize that he's been through hell and back again, like the rest of us, maybe even more so in his position in terms of, you know, when we've taken him out, when we've put Jack in you know, all the play through playing these top 10 teams and or top 20 teams, you know, four of our losses are against top 15, top 10 teams. So he's seen great shooting and, you know, it's not going to change in our conference. There's great shooters here, but he's just got to know that, you know, the calloused mind and the calloused skin he's developed up until this point should carry him through a great Atlantic 10 season. And I think he's a competitor with the best of them, man. He's very ready for this next push.
You turned the ball over 23 times against the Cuse. Last year, you were one of the best in the country protecting the ball. You're about 5 turnovers a game above where you were last year. What's been the difference in holding on to the ball?
Dumb decisions, tired decisions, lack of a depth on a bench or a roster, guys play, maybe playing too much throughout the course of the game. We're looking at all things, Ted. I mean, we go from a Lemoyne game that's, you know, they're a pretty vanilla team for sure, but good, and we have five turnovers the entire game, and then we get into a realm where, you know, we're on the exact opposite, turn the ball over the most we ever have against probably the best team we played, arguably the best team we've played all season. So if I had an exact answer for it, Ted, I think I'd be a very wealthy man. I don't know how to really look inside that crystal ball or look inside the mental approach to these guys other than putting them in the best routines possible throughout the course of the week. I mean, one thing that we knew, and it's always been a catalyst of difficulty here, is our spring break week and the lack of routine our guys are in. We're so diligent on our 168 calendars, our 168 hours in a week, and what we do each day and what we do each hour, making it a day one process. And then you get into spring break and guys are sleeping till 10 a.m. and coming to practice, and they're a little bit loose, lackadaisical, this and that. You see some practices are a little bit choppy. Their edge work gets off schedule, and the decision making just doesn't work out. I think the standard that we've put in place earlier this year is for that routine to be paramount and to be on point. So we've got to get these guys in a decision making platform every single day prior to our game, and making sure they see. I mean, we showed them the mistakes of omission that we're making that are just infuriating, and just in terms of maybe giving up on an offensive possession or not having forward play in a clear, or not making the right decisions to balance our clear and stretch and get through and giving the ball carrier space and all this stuff. So unfortunately, Ted, things we've been through at nausea, and we challenged our guys to look at these against Syracuse, and we said, you know, a couple of these mistakes are commission based errors where we're trying to force the crease, or we're trying to, you know, make a good play or see a backside opening here and there. But then a bunch of them have been corrected since Colgate. Well, where's this ball supposed to go? Well, you know, how are you supposed to throw this ball, your right hand or your left hand? Why aren't you V-ing in and V-ing out for the ball? Why are you bringing another rider to the ball carrier? All these things that we've talked about, to the point where some of them are defiant, not by nature, but we're saying, we've corrected this error. Now it's on you guys to make sure that we don't see it in game ever again. And we hope that the redundancy in that message and the routine that we're going to put them in throughout the course of the week will put us in a position to play a much cleaner game on Saturday.
Let's step back and look at the big picture. These eight games in preparation for the last five, you're 3-5. Everyone said, schedule better. And then they go, oh, you're 3-5. You could have subbed out a couple of previous opponents for the ones you changed to and been 5-3, but would you be better ready for the A-10 schedule?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. Nor do I know. I wish I could tell you, but I know for a fact that our guys are in a good place. I do. How we're going to play on Saturday is an unknown. It always is. But the consistency that we've had emotionally here has been awesome, and the job that Johnny Hurley he's done through the injury. Johnny hasn't really been healthy since Colgate, and he's still been a captain. He's done a great job, and Nick Gulace, what he does, he was a little bit banged up for the last 2 weeks, and he's done a great job. And Nolan Firth has gotten not only better from a captain standpoint and what he does from a dialed in to his teammates, but he's improved in game weekly. So, I think the what we had in youth and in experience early is something that we've found to be a catalyst of our strength. And we meet with our captains every Wednesday at 3 p.m. and the first question I always ask is, what's the pulse? How are the guys? And if they come in unprepared, then we'll ask them to leave and then go get prepared and come back in. But they're always in a good place. Guys are great. They have, maybe a few glitches here and there. We'd like your help with this or we'd like your help with that. But for the most part, they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, man. They can't wait for the Atlantic 10 Conference to start. They feel like We have some momentum. We have some guys coming back into the lineup. You know, we may be able to see Johnny this week. We may be able to see Troy this week. You know, some younger guys or some other guys are playing some pretty good ball, so we can implement them into our lineup. So we're playing a few more people. We feel like the stars are aligning here just a touch better than they did, you know, in the Colgate, the Michigans, the Cornells, the days where we were a bit banged up and a little bit in between. We feel like, one, we bounced back from bad losses well this year and got some good victories after those scenarios. And then and you also can't find a game, Ted, up until this point where everybody that is capable of being healthy and impactful has played. You know, like Chris is out against Albany, and then Troy's out last week, and Johnny's been out, and John Jude, and this and that. But those aren't excuses. Those are, again, catalysts for strength. We feel like now those guys are coming back, or at least for the most part, they're working their way back. But we also feel like our guys have worked very hard to stay in a great mental place and a great physical and emotional place. So I'm very proud of this group, very proud of the seniors, very proud of our captains and the leaders on this team. And I'm just anxious for them to feel some success and for the efforts to come to fruition.
You talk about bone plays and you build a culture of toughness. That's UMass in a nutshell. I mean, Garber's Gorillas back in the day, that's continued under Greg Cannella. I mean, they want to do the same things you do. These are going to be two teams banging each other around.
Yeah, we have great respect for UMass. We have great respect for Coach Cannella. I think he's awesome. I think what they do at UMass is awesome. I think they're an underdog all the way. They recruit that way. They play that way. Their roster looks like ours, man. That, you know, kind of land of misfit toys. Where is this guy from? What's his background? What's his history? And yada yada. So, you know, I think the one thing we presented to our team on, you know, Wednesdays, we talked through UMass, late in Monday, and then, you know, in our practice Tuesday, but really do spend a good time on them in the film room and the teaching room, on Wednesdays. And, you know, one thing we mentioned as a great strength for them, they've been in, one, two, three, four, five one-goal games already this season.
Yeah.
You know, they've lost some, and all that tells you is they're tough. Is that, yeah, and we watched all those games. We've seen them go down. We've seen them go up. We've seen them go on runs. We've seen them allow an opponent to go on runs. And no matter what, they really don't shy away from challenge or any in-game adversity. So that's the testament to the seniors and the grad seniors that they have on the field, because they got a bunch of them. They got, you know, the goalie's a grad senior, the attackman, they've got two seniors or a senior and two grad seniors on attack. They're playing older guys at the midfield. They got older guys on defense. So that's what the experience does for them, is it keeps them in the fight, man. And they'll stay in that fight on Saturday no matter what. You know, and I just I'm thankful that I got a group that's prepared to do the same.
Let's talk about Matt Note, the grad student goalie. What have you seen of him? You better not throw lollipops at this guy. He'll eat him up.
Yeah, or, you know, howitzers to the wrong spot. I mean, he eats up, you know, a lollipop, and he eats up a 100-mile-an-hour shot. He's good, man. That's, again, the I can't remember too many weeks this year, Ted, where we didn't play a good goalie, you know, especially last week. Again, part of the reason why, you put Will Mark on Boswell Field before Matt Noe. I mean, you got to think about how you're shooting all week. And, you know, we feel like with him and the Michigan goaltender and even the Lemoyne goaltender, we thought was great, all the way up until this point. Have they been as good as Matt Noe? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think Will Mark's pretty good, man. I really do. So we know he's their best player. That's what we think anyway. You know, they got a lot of good players, but we feel like he's the one that kind of runs the ship and keeps them humming. So we've got a good plan for him. We know he's going to have a good day. That's very rare that he doesn't. And again, I think the next play mentality, the right over the easy and the underdog, all our core values have to go into how you play a certain opponent like that. You don't beat great players, Ted, with one shooter. You beat great players with an entire team and a focus going into that week. So we've had an exact focus for him. Our guys know exactly who he is, and we're prepared to battle hard.
overall your shot accuracy still hasn't been great this year. Does that change the approach any? Can you afford to shoot for corners and spots when you're not getting a lot of shots on goal? Do you have to be a little more just put it on goal, or do you have to just emphasize even harder picking the right spot?
Yeah, well, you know, shooting, Ted, for us, you know, as average as it's been this year, it's never really been a pick a spot type shooting scenario. It's been, you know, where do we feel like the goalie's at his most vulnerable? You know, where is he at his least vulnerable, and where is he at his most vulnerable? And you know, even with great goalies like no, there aren't exact spots. There are just ways that you have to attack them. So we feel like if we're telling guys exactly where to shoot, Ted, they're just shooting tight and they're not letting it go. And when you play good goalies, you got to figure out how to change the plane of your shot. And you got to figure out how to move them. Like we've always said, if a guy stares you down, like Matt Note, he's just good, man. There's no way around it. But if you have a good plan from a team perspective, well, we've got to let our guys shoot free. No matter what the percentage is or what we've done up to this point, we can't have our guys thinking a ton before they let the ball rip. They just got to let it go. But again, if we put them in the proper spots from Monday to Friday, we feel like we have a better opportunity to let that ball go to the right areas or to find that good shot within the hashes or up the hashes, whatever. You know, Coach Brundage always has a great plan for these guys. Like, it's not so much where you're shooting the ball, but how you're shooting it and where you are on the field. I think those are big keys for a great goaltender like Matt Note.
UMass offensively emphasizes quality over quantity. They don't get a lot of shots, but they're number 9 in the country in shot accuracy. Tell us a little bit about their offensive scheme.
Great ball movement, smart, well-coached, a team offense. You know, they've got great parts to the whole and a simple concept. You know, they run some opening plays where they get some screens and some shots for their best shooters. It just goes to speak to who, you know, Greg Cannella is from a veteran standpoint. He knows who he's got. He knows what the system should look like. And, you know, they got great goal scorers in this kid, Mason Bregman and Mike Tobin, and, you know, Shane O'Leary, a left-handed midfielder for him, as good of a player or good of a midfielder as we've seen. He's a great player. But yeah, they draw a slide and they move it. It's quick. And if you don't slide, they make you pay. And then on top of that, they'll run a few set plays for this guy or that guy, which, you know, are tough. It's tough to support the ball and defend the play. So they got a good balanced ship here, man. And we're Coach Fish is doing a great job getting our guys ready from the inside out, and also ready for all these set plays that they have, and just really believe that with the proper attention to detail that we can defend a lot of it.
I know you're not a huge big speech guy, but do you have something prepared in terms of, okay, clear the decks, we've got 8 games, it's 5 that matter, laser focus on these next 5?
Yeah, I've already made it, if I can be honest with you. So, you know, the message after the Syracuse game was exact, Ted, and my pregame speech pretty much comes on Monday in our film session. You know, what we want. I'm a firm believer. You know, I got a romantic side of me. I got a very passionate side of me, Ted, that has always loved the pregame speech and loved the coach that can ray-rah and get him going. And you know, I've gotten to the point now where, you know, it's almost as if my team needs that in order to be motivated and to go, then I don't think we have a great chance of winning the game. So, you know, I kind of dumb it down to a few days prior to make sure the week of prep going into that game has an exact inspiration and an exact motivation. And I said just that, you know, Monday I'm like, listen, guys, we are 0-0 right now, right? The RPI that we have and the win-loss schedule that we've already gone through doesn't give us any opportunity at an at-large bid. It really doesn't. So, you know, if we stand a chance at a postseason, then we've got to dumb it down to a day and figure out how to compete better, harder, and more accurate throughout our conference games. And small secret, we've been talking about it since September. How do we make the Atlantic 10 our bread and butter? And how do we make sure we're more focused on these games and more dialed into what we need to do in these contests than we are in any other? That's Syracuse, Cornell, Michigan, all of those included. So we feel like we've put our guys in a good position mentally to take full advantage of one each day first, to not look ahead to anything and everything Atlantic 10, but to make sure the day's handled well. And so getting back into that routine, getting back into that 168, getting back into that standard and those details that drive us, you know, we're on that page you just talked about, Ted. We're 0-0. We go into this game. UMass is the same, and we got to figure out a way to want this win more than they do.
All right, for any kind of fan of this game, this shapes up as a classic. 12 noon Saturday at the Boss. Coach, best of luck getting to 1-0 in the league. New season starts, and let's take advantage of it.
All right, Ted. Appreciate it, brother.
That's the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Don't forget, you can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, be it Apple or Spotify or Google Podcasts, and get all your official athletics information at the website of HWS Athletics. That is, of course, hwsathletics.com. Until next week, have a great lacrosse week.